Beis Daf is Bab Mesiyah Daf Chaf Dalid. We're holding on the bottom of Daf Chaf Gimel Amud Beis at the two dots on Chaf Gimel Amud Beis by Rav Shimon Elazar Omer Bechule when it comes to Anpuria. So the Gemara is going to talk a little bit today about what the definition of clay Anpuria are. That's going to lead us into a discussion about what things one is allowed to lie about, when one does not have to be truthful, and when Talmidei Chachamim are said to have lied about certain things. And we're going to have different examples of items that you do not have to be machriz, that there's a right to assume a sense of yeush. But primarily, today's daf is going to discuss the shita of Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar. The Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar says that you don't have to be machriz on clay and poria. So the Gemara is going to discuss this heter of Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, or specifically the heter of Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar of Rabbi Mitzuyim Sham, that if there are a lot of people around, so then you don't have to be machriz when you're dealing with something that there are a lot of people around, because you could assume that there was yeush. The Gemara is going to have five different questions about that heter. Do the Chabim agree to it? Does it apply when it's Rov Yisrael, when it's Rov Akum? All sorts of different issues related to the Shita of Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar. The Gemara is going to try to figure out how to answer those questions and how we paskin in the end of the day, whether we paskin like Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar or not. In the context of having all of those discussions, the Gemara is also going to mention the notion of Lifnim Mishuras Hadin when it comes to Hashavas Aveda, that normally, even when there's a situation where one does not have to return an Aveda, there is a concept that sometimes one is encouraged to go Lifnim Mishuras Hadin when it comes to an Aveda. So let's pick up about four lines before the lines get wide on Chav Gimel Amud Beis. So Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar Omer V'chule. The Mishnah said that Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar says that when you have clay and puria, ein chayev lahachriz. You don't have to announce clay and puria. You're allowed to just keep them. So says Gemara, my and puria. What are and puria? These are new kelim that you're not used to them yet, and therefore the owner won't have such a good recognition of these kelim. Rashi says Anpuria is an utrikun. It's an abbreviation of the phrase Ein Po Re'ia. He hasn't seen it much, so therefore he's not going to be able to easily recognize the item that he has. Well, says the Gemara, Hei Chidami, what exactly is the nature of this kli? Iyispu simin, if there's a simin on the kli, ki lo savatana ayin mayhavi, why does it matter that it's lo savatana ayin, that the guy's not used to it? If there's an explicit simin, then anyway you should have to be machriz, because that much he knows, he should be able to identify a simin. Idelespu simin, if there's no simin on it, ki savatana ayin mayhavi, then what difference does it make it that you are used to it, if there's no simin on it? Then anyway, the guy's going to be miyayish. He's not going to ever think he's going to get it back. So it says, Mar liolam de lesbuhu simen. And really, we're talking about there is no simen on it. Why does it matter that it's clay anpuria, even if it wasn't clay anpuria, even if he was used to it? L'chora, you wouldn't have to return it. Says Gemara, Nafkamina la ahadure letzur b'merabanan b'tvias eina. The Nafkamina is, would you return it to a Talmud Chacham if he says that he recognizes it? Savatana ayin kimle begavayu madrinan lay. If it's an item that he's already used to, so then we assume that he knows what he's talking about when he says, this is mine, and you'd give it back to him. If it's not something that he's used to, so we don't assume that he knows what he's talking about when he says that it's his item, and therefore you don't give it back to him. Damar Avidom Shmuel, Bahani Tasmili Avidi Rabbanan de Mishana Bimilayu. We happen to mention there are three things that Rabbanon tend to lie about, that they're allowed to be untruthful about, and they are b'maseches, u'bepuria, u'beushpiza, when it comes to what they've learned, when it comes to their sleeping arrangements, and when it comes to ushpiza, those who have hosted them. And that's our first Afyomi coincidence of the day, that we mentioned the ushpiza on Sukkah. So, but obviously over here it's not referring to the ushpiza that we invite into our Sukkah, but ushpiza when you're dealing with a host. So my nafkamina, what's the nafkamina in knowing that this is what they lie about? If you want to know who counts as a Talmud Chacham with regard to returning an Aveda B'tvias Ayin, because the halacha is the Talmud Chacham doesn't have to give a simon. Talmud Chacham just has to say that I recognize that that item is mine and he has the Nemonus. So you want to know who's going to count as a Talmud Chacham in regards to that? So I adin beit lo mashani el banitlas medrinalei v'mashani b'miliachrini lo madrinalei. the definition of a Talmud Chacham is, what does he lie about? If he lies about only these three things, then you can return it to your sign. But if he lies about other things, other than these three things, then he's not a Talmud Chacham, and if he says that he recognizes an Aveda, it's not good enough. He's going to have to bring a Siman in order to have any claim on the Aveda. So a number of items over here. First of all, Tosos discusses each of these three things that a Talmud Chacham is allowed to lie about. When it comes to B'Maseches, Tosos says, I don't understand why you're allowed to lie about Maseches. The Gemara Maseches Kiddushin Daf Lamed says, V'shinantam v'shiyah divrei Torah mechudadim b'ficha. Gemara has two drashas from the word V'shinantam l'vanecha. One of them is V'shilashtem, that you should be Mishalish Shinosav, that you should divide your time in learning between Tanakh and Mishnah and Gemara. But the other drasha is that divrei Torah should be mechudadim b'ficha, that they should be fluent in your mouth. Shem yishalcha adam al tegamgim v'tamerlo elom elom yad. That if someone asks you about divrei Torah, you shouldn't have to stumble and hem and haw. You should immediately be able to respond what the halacha is. So how can we say over here that you're allowed to lie? That you're allowed to say, no, I didn't really learn it. I don't really know it. No, you're not supposed to say, I don't really know. You're supposed to say, it's like Rav Shachter once commented, that a person shouldn't paskin halacha la niyas daiti. No, it should be me'ashiras hadas. It should be al tegamgim v'tamerlo. It shouldn't be from aniyas hadas. A person is supposed to know very well. So Tosfos suggests, yishlom adayin v'dafka badim abalishol din o hora'a al islamed. If someone comes to for a psak halacha, or they need to learn something, and you have the ability to give that psak halacha, or you have the ability to teach them that which they need to learn, that's where we're going to say that you have to respond immediately. That's what the Gemara in Kiddushin is talking about. But over here, they're trying to show off, they're trying to test you, see how much the guy knows, and say, oh, look how much he knows. So if it's all about gaiva, it's all about just saying how much a person knows, so a person can say he doesn't know. You see very clearly, and this is pointed out by the Achronim, that one is allowed to lie, machmas anava. The Chida writes this, and many other Achronim, ben Yoyada, Stechemen, that you're allowed to lie because of due to anava. The Taz and the Magen Avraham and Orchaim some Tav Kuf Samachay say that a person who's fasting and he's fasting mitam tzidkus, he's knowing to take upon himself extra fast, is allowed to lie about that as well because it's a matter of anivus, and when it comes to a matter of anivus, a person is allowed to lie. However, even when it comes to these things you're allowed to lie about, many of the Achronim suggest that one should not take advantage of that heter too much. You know, I think Rav Zalman Sorotskin writes in Aznaim L'Torah, it says, Midvar Sheker Tirchak. Why Midvar Sheker Tirchak? Why not just Los Sheker? Why Midvar Sheker Tirchak? So he says, even when you have to be untruthful, you should avoid saying words that are a blatant lie. Even when it's something, you have one of these heterim, it's b'meseches, it's b'puri, it's b'shpiza, a person should avoid a dvar sheker. He should say it in a way that it's not so clear that it's an outright lie. The Gemara tells the story of Meseches Ksubas and Dafayin Zayin, that Rabbi Shimon ben Levi, when he went to Gan Eden in his lifetime, he saw Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai sitting on 13 golden chairs. So Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai asked him, are you ben Levi? You're Rabbi Shimon ben Levi? So he says, yes. So Rav Shimon ben Yochai says, have you ever seen a keshes b'yamecha? Have you ever seen a rainbow in your life? He said, yes. So the Gemara says, he didn't really. He was just saying it machmas anivus. Even though he said in, he never really saw a rainbow. He was just saying that, no, I'm not such a tzaddik that I would be making on the entire dar, that they would never be worthy of seeing a rainbow when I'm alive. So the Eini Shmuel says, how could he lie? After all, a person is not supposed to lie about these things. So Pashtus is, he was lying because of anivus. However, the Eini Shmuel suggests that maybe he dafka didn't lie. He said aleph yud nun, which is could be understood as in or ain, meaning even when a person is saying something that's untruthful, you try to say it in a way where it's not a direct and blatant lie. A person shouldn't say something that's a direct and blatant lie. Rav Moshe has a tshuva in Or Chaim Chelkei Simon Chaf that if someone comes to ask halacha lemaisa by a person who's higia la'ora, by a posek who's higia la'ora, that one has to respond. You're not allowed to send him to a different chacham and say, I don't want to respond, ask that guy. And he brings a raya from David HaMelech. The Gemara in Brachas Tav Dalet tells us that David HaMelech would say, Yodai melechlachos b'dam shvir b'dam shilya k'dei lahati risha labayla, that my hands are dirty with dam in order to be mati risha labayla. Why are his hands dirty with dam? He couldn't find another rabbi. Well, if people asked him, then he was a Talmud Chacham and he was a Gila Ra. He had no right to pass up the opportunity. He had to respond. That's what Rav Moshe writes. It sounds a little not that way. That's certainly what it sounds like from Aratosos, but Masechas. It sounds not that way from the Rambam. The Rambam, Gzeil Vaveh, the Perek Yadal, Alach Yad Gimel, says when our Gemara says you're allowed to lie about Masechas, he says if you learn Masechas Nida, you're allowed to say, no, I'm holding a Mekvos, I'm not holding a Nida, so that they don't ask you Halachos in Hilchos Nida. So it sounds like you're allowed to avoid being asked the question. So the Achronim ready a question, the Rambam. What happened to Devei Torah Mechudadim Aficha Al Tegami Metomer Lo Omer Lo Miyad, that you should respond? So he says, if certainly someone who's Talmud Chacham is a Gia La Ra'a and is the posek that people rely on, he has to be careful not to be Megamgam and to respond right away. But if he's not a Mumcha L'Rabbim and he's not the rabbi that everyone asks the questions to, so then he doesn't have to. He could avoid the whole issue by saying that he doesn't have expertise in that area. That's as far as b'maseches. B'puria, what's b'puria about? So Rashi says, if they ask him, shimashta mitascha, yomar lav midas sniyasu. They ask him if you have tashmish amita. Who asks such questions? So says Tosos, ein regila shiyishalu keperish Rashi im shimish mitaso. That's ridiculous. No one goes around asking, were you mishamish mita? No, that can't be what we're talking about over here. Elim balkerioi of lo balabes hamedrish shalu lama loba. No, we're talking back in the days where a Balkari wouldn't learn Torah, that Takanas Ezra, that a Balkari couldn't learn Torah or say brachas till he went to the mikveh. So if a guy doesn't show up to the Beis Medrash one day, and it's because he was a Balkari, and they say, oh, why weren't you here yesterday? He should say, I wasn't feeling well. He should say some other excuse, but he shouldn't say that he was a Balkari. That's what it means. When we talk about a Balkari, we're not stam talking about someone who's Motzi Zer Levatal. Balkari, if he was a Mekai Mitzvah Zona, he's a Balkari. Tumas Keri happens regardless of the context that the Keri comes out of the body. Ortel says if they ask him which bed he slept on and there might be some Shechva Zera on the bed, he shouldn't identify which bed he slept on. What about Ushpiza? What's this din of Ushpiza? So Rashi says Shalu al Ushpiza um kibla b'sev upon miyafos. They ask him, how is your host? And he says he says that they were great. That's not a midah tova, because then everyone is going to go looking for accommodations by that host. You don't want to make their lives so challenging. So Tosos says, "Im shalu and kiblu b'sefer panimiyos yomar lo k'depirush Rashi darmin barachin mevarik rei b'kol gadol b'boker hashkein be'erev klal l'teichashiv lo." You're going to go and you're going to publicize how great somebody is. You think it's such a bracha. In the end of the day, it's a klal for the person. Frak tells us, but there's Gemara in Brachos, Areach Tov, Omer, Kol Ma Shatarach Balabayis, Lo Tarach Ela B'Shvili, that a good guest is supposed to say that everything the Balabayis did, he only did for me. So isn't that saying you're supposed to go and sing the praises of your host? It depends who you're talking to. If you're talking to dignified, classy people who aren't going to go and try to take advantage, so then you say how great the host is. But if you're talking about people who are in a Muganim, are going to try to take advantage of every little thing that they can, then you don't say how great the host is. Ramesha's Tshuva is about sharing about how information about how generous a Bal Tzedakah is. So he says you should probably follow this rule about Bnei Adam Uganim versus Bnei Adam Shenu Uganim. If it's Bnei Adam Uganim that have a good causes, and the Ashir wants to give to good causes, and he wants to, and he probably hasn't fulfilled yet his Meiser, because or he hasn't fulfilled, certainly not Chomesh Nechasav. So nothing wrong, Rav Moshe thinks, with sharing who the generous people are amongst those who have legitimate needs that are going to be helpful. Adrabi being Mezakeh in the mitzvah of tzedakah. The Maritzchah Chayis is bothered, he doesn't understand the kasha at all. I mean, he was saying that you're supposed to sing the host's praises, probably doesn't mean that you're supposed to publicly sing the host's praises. When the Gemara says in Maseches Brachos that an Oreach Tov says, Kol Ma Shetorach Baal Bayis Lo Torach El Bishvili, it's not saying that's how you should speak to other people. It's saying that's your attitude. Your attitude shouldn't be, if they had a lot of food at a place where you, at someone who hosted you, your attitude shouldn't be, they did it just for themselves and I just happened to be there. Your attitude should be, no, you know what, when they don't have company, they probably eat pretty simply, and most of the time people do. They don't have so many courses, they don't have so many side dishes and so much food. So really, they did it bishvili. Not only does that mean they did it bishvili, it means they only ate this big seuda because of my kavod. Had it not been for me, they wouldn't have eaten so much. Forget about everything that they made, that they served to me. So it's an attitudinal thing. It's not an issue of publicizing one way or the other. Okay, weiter the Gemara now. Marzutra Chasida. The Gemara tells a story. We're on Chavdal and Amaral, 5 lines in. Marzutra Chasida ignim vle kosa de kaspa miyushbiza. Marzutra Chasida had a kos of kesef stolen from his host. And he saw a yeshiva guy who had washed his hands and was drying his hands on someone else's clothing. So he saw how disrespectful this person is toward other people's property. That's your guy. That's the one who stole the item, because he's clearly not careful about other people's money. So kafte va'ode. They applied some pressure to him, and ultimately he admitted that he in fact was the one who had stolen the coat. Tanya, mother of Shimon Elazar, bekelim chadashim shesavata na'ayin shechayev lahachris. So now going back to Rabbi Shimon Elazar, in our Mishnah, the Braisa tells us Rabbi Shimon Elazar agrees to the Chachamim that if a person finds new kelim that the owners are already used to, that you have to be machris because the bailim will recognize them. Ve'eluein kelim chadashim shelo savata na'ayin, and the following are examples of kelim chadashim that we assume the bailim is not used to them and does not recognize them, and therefore she'eno chayev la'achriz, that you would not have to be machriz, kigon bade mechatin v'tzinorios machrozos shel kardumos. Bade mechatin, needle badim, which we'll see what that means exactly soon. Tzinorios, small forks that they would use for chute zahav, for golden strings, and machrozios shel kardumos. The things that they would like hooks that they would hang axes on. So says Mar Kaleil Shom. When do we assume that you're allowed to keep these things and you don't have to announce them? If you find one of these kelim, but if you find two at a time, then you're going to have to be machrus, because then the minion itself is a simon. The number of items you found is a simon. If you look at Tosos of Shnayim Chayv Lachrus, the minion avi simon, says Tosos. Masnisin duktari machrozos v'kikaros harelu shalo imari derech nefilasi shap. When the Mishnah says in plural you find kikaros, machrozos, so you're allowed to keep it, sounds like even though it's more than one, you're allowed to keep it. Tosfos says, yeah, must be because it was derech nefila. You saw that it wasn't placed down, that it was dropped. So the person who dropped it doesn't know how many he dropped at one time, doesn't know how many fell out of his hand. Inami mayri derech hinuach v'leka ele machruza achas v'chein igul v'kikar v'adukar machrozos haynu machrozos di'alma. Or maybe the plural is not talking about where you found machrozos. We're saying when people in general find machrozos, this guy finds this machroz, that one finds that one, but it's not talking about that a single person had found multiple items, because if in fact you did find multiple items, then enochinami, you would have to be machrez, because the number itself would be a simon, and that of course relates to what we discussed yesterday, whether minyan is a simon. Ask the Gemara, my bade, we said that one of the examples of things that are lo savata na'ayin are bade machtin. What does it mean, bade machtin? Soche. It's a type of small piece of wood that are like branches that you would hang the needles on. That you would hang needles on these little wooden hooks. Va mai karle bade. Why are they called bade? Davar d'talu be'midi. It's something that is used to hang something. Bad karule. We call that a bad. Ki ahud etnan. And this is our second afyomi coincidence of the day. Just like we have in the Mishnah, d'tan asam. Just like we find in Masechah Sukkah and Af Mem Dalid, when it comes to an arava, where most of the leaves have fallen off. By this time in Sukkah, a number of people have aravos that are already shvach, where most of the leaves have fallen off. Allah echad bibad echad. That it's kosher as long as you have Allah echad bibad echad. It's that same word bad that on a single branch, because something hangs from the bad. It hangs from the branch. So v'chenai Reb Shimon ben Elazar Omer hamatzlu minarim minadov minanam rumer bardalus. If a person saves something from a lion, from a bear, from all sorts of wild animals, uminzuto shel yam, or the sea is going to come and flood it away. And he takes it before it gets flooded away, mishluiso shel nahar, or the river is going to overflow and take it away. Motzi b'srati, or if a person finds on a highway that goes from one city to another, uplatya gedola, or in a large town square where people come and they sell their things and it's a common place of commerce, ubekol makom sharab mitzuyin sham, or any place where there's rabbi mitzuyin sham, even if the item has a simin, hareo shalo neshabayla misyashimhan. This is the sheet of Rav Shimon Elazar that we're going to be discussing for the majority of the rest of the daf. That here you have Rav Shimon Elazar says, you find something even if it has a simin in a very public place, you can assume that there's Yeish Bailim, and therefore you're allowed to keep it. So the Gemara says, we have five questions about this Shita of Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar. Number one, Yibailu. Ki kama Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, Barov Kananim, Aval Barov Yisrael Lo, Odin Afil Barov Yisrael Nami Amar. When Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar says you could assume Yeish and you can keep it, is that only because you're in a place where most of the people there are non-Jews, and therefore the Bailim will have Yeish of getting it back? Or do we assume even if it's Rov Yisrael, the Bailim will still have Yeush from getting it back? And im timtzul amar afilu b'Rov Yisrael nami amar. And even if Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar says that even when it's Rov Yisrael, the guy will have Yeush, pligi rabbanan alei, olo pligi. So great, we know what Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar holds, that if it's a very public area, you're allowed to keep it, you don't have to announce it, because the guy would have yeish. Do the rabbanan agree with that, or do the rabbanan disagree? And v'im tim tzolom ar pligi. And if the rabbanan disagree with Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, berov Yisrael vaday pligi, berov knanim pligi olo pligi. We know they would argue in the case of Rov Yisrael, meaning if you're assuming that Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar holds his shita, that it's assumed yeish, even berov Yisrael, Israel. And you assume the Chacham disagree with that. So you're assuming the Chacham disagree Berov Yisrael. But would the Chacham also disagree Berov Knanim? Would the Chacham say Berov Knanim that you still have to return it? Vimtim Tzolom or Pligi. And if you say that the Chacham would agree even Berov Knanim, so then we need to figure out Halach Kamoso Ein Halach Kamoso. So we know they argue about Rov Yisrael, potentially. If they also argue about Rov Knanim, how do we paskin when it comes to Rov Kanan Vimtim Salam Alech Kamoso? And if you assume we paskin Rosh Hashanah Lazar, so what does that mean we paskin Rosh Hashanah Lazar? Dafka Rov Kanan Mafil Rov Yisrael. Doesn't mean we paskin like Rosh Hashanah Lazar. You can assume Yeush only in the case of Rov Kananim, but maybe we don't paskin like Rosh Hashanah Lazar when it comes to Rov Yisrael. So those are the five questions that the Gemara has as far as the Shita of Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, that when you're dealing with a very public area, that you can assume Yeush. Tashima, the Gemara says, let's try to resolve some of this from the following brisa. If you find money in shuls or bate medrash, which are very public areas, you're allowed to keep these items because you can assume that there's Yeush. Mancham le dazl basaruba. Now, very important over here, the phrase da azl basaruba over here does not mean the same thing it means everywhere else in Shas. Normally, the azl basaruba means that you're not chayshin on the miut, that you don't hold shitas from meir, that we're choshish lemiuta, and that we generally follow majority. Over here, it's not about following majority. Azl basaruba is a phrase that we're using to describe Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar's attitude of Rabbi Mitzuyin Sham. That if you find something in a place where there are a lot of people around, you can assume yeush. So who's the one that assumes batik nasiya?
studios, bate midrashos, big public areas. Who's the one that assumes that that makes a difference in terms of aveda? That's what we mean by azal basaruba. So who's the one that said that? Rabbi Shimon Elazar. He's the one that said that we care about what kind of public place you found in the aveda. And shamina filu bravi shal nami. But what kinds of public places is he talking about now? We're talking about bate knesios. We're talking about bate midrashos. So apparently, when we say that if it's a very public place, you can assume yeush bailim, it's even if it's Rav Yisrael, it's even if it's a place where it's mostly Jews, because one would assume that in shuls and in bate medrash, it's mostly Jews. Says Gemara, not necessarily. Maybe we're talking about most mefuzaris that have no simon, and that's where even the chacham are going to be moda, that it's harei elu shalom. So we're not talking about an item that has a simon, and therefore you don't have to say we're dafka going like the shita of Shimon Elazar. If it's most mufuzaris, it could be even in the most quiet place, in a place where a lot of people do not walk by, and the halacha would still be you're allowed to keep it. Why would we emphasize that you find it in a public area like a batei knesios and batei midrashos? No, we're talking about that these are bundled up money, so it has a simon. But we still don't have a raya that Rav Shimon Elazar would still say in a place that's predominantly Jewish that you could assume that just because it was a public place that you could assume Yeush, because maybe when it says Batei Knesios it means the non-Jewish gathering places. The Beis HaKnesses is a place of gathering, so we call it a place where we gather to pray. But Goyim gather for all sorts of reasons. They gather to watch sporting events. They gather for all... So anything that's a place of Knesses, that's a place of gathering, they would call Batei Knesios. So it says, that's great. And what do they call Batei Midrashos? I mean, we gave two examples. Batei Knesios, Batei Midrashos, talking about Goyim. Batei Midrashos, Ma'ikel Ameimer. How are you going to define what Batei Midrashos are in a non-Jewish context? Batei Midrashos, Didan, Diasvi, Buknanim. No, we mean our Batei Midrashos, but we have Goyim in our Batei Midrashos. Why do we have Goyim in our Batei Midrashos? So Rashi says, because we need security. That they would have a security guard sitting outside of the Beis HaMedrash. So that's why you would have Goyim potentially in a Beis HaMedrash. What I see, I saw somewhere that someone wanted to be mefarish that when we say that there are not going to be any more Goyim in the Bate Midrash, it means that there's not going to be any need for security anymore. Yeah, he says Mechadish in the Sefer Otzer Yad Chaim writes based on this Rashi when the pasuk in Zechariah says V'lo yeh kanani od beveis Hashem tzvakos beyom ahu, that there's no longer going to be a kanani in the Beis Hashem tzvakos. It means that we're going to have security. We're going to be so secure. We're not going to need to hire security guards for every Beis HaKnesses and Beis HaMedrash. That based on this Rashi, there's discussion a little bit about allowing Kananim, allowing non-Jews into Batei Knesios. On the one hand, we have Beis Tefillah Hi L'Chola Amim, that even the Beis HaMikdash, it's a place of Tefillah for everybody. On the other hand, there's certainly an Inyan that the Gemara talks about, that a person should not be Moser Divrei Torah, or Sefer Torah, or Mezuzos, to Nachrim. There's discussions in the poskim when you have Jews in jail, Rachman al-Islan. So can you trust the warden to watch over the Sefer Torah? Are you allowed to be Moser Sefer Torah? Be'arakum, but Pashto says that's when it comes to Kisvei HaKodesh, as opposed to when it comes to just allowing into shul. So there's no problem with allowing into shul. But anyway, be that as it may, we're talking about Batei Midrashos that the Kananim are sitting because, as Rashi says, they're there for security. Oh, Hashadas is Lachi. Once we say that's their role, so Batei Knesses Nami Diasvi Behu Kananim. Maybe Beis HaKnesses also meant a shul, but it meant a shul that requires security. It didn't mean Stam, a gathering place for Goyim. So Gemara tries to resolve the question. Tashima Matzaba Aveda Imrov Yisrael Chayv Lachruz Imrov Kananim Eino Chayv Lachruz. If you find an Aveda in a city that is a mixed city of Jews and non-Jews, so you follow the majority. If it's mostly Jews in the city, you announce it. Mostly non-Jews, you don't announce it. So Man Shamile Dazin Basaruba, who's the one that says that if you find something in a public place, you get to keep it? Again, that's what Dazin Basaruba means in this sugya. Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar. Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar is the one that holds that way. Shamina Kikam Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar Brov Kananin Aval Rov Yisrael Lo. So you see that Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar only holds you allowed to keep it if it's Rov Kananin, but if it's Rov Yisrael, you're not allowed to keep it. Says says the Gemara, no, Hamani, Rabbanani. It could be that Mishnah is following the Shita of the Chachamim, that only when it's Rav Kananim you're allowed to keep it, but Rav Shimon Elazar would hold, even Rav Yisrael you're allowed to keep it. So Tifshot Mina, Demod Rabban Rav Shimon Elazar Rav Kananim. Okay, but if it's following the Shita of the Chachamim, then at least we've answered one of our questions, that the Chachamim agree when you find in a public place where it's Rav Kananim that you're allowed to keep it. Says Gemara, Eliyolam Rav Shimon Elazari. Now maybe it's really going like Rav Shimon Elazar, Rav Yisrael Nami. And Rav Shimon Elazar is talking about even when it's Rav Yisrael. And why? And nevertheless, you have to be machriz vachom eskinon b'tomon. The reason you have to, I mean, Rav Shimon Elazar would say, no matter what kind of public area it is, even if it's Rav Yisrael, you're allowed to keep it. But the reason you have to announce it over here when it's Rav Yisrael is because it was hidden somewhere. And so if it was put away very carefully, ibatomon mayavid tegabe. Well, if it was hidden somewhere, why are you holding it? Vatan matzakli ba'ashva mechusa loyigabo megula notel machriz. That if you find something hidden away somewhere, don't touch it. The guy's going to come back for it. That's why he hid it. It's only if it's megula, if it's only if it's exposed that you're allowed to take it. It was initially hidden in a place that's not normally cleaned out, but now you see it's going to be cleaned out. It's going to be all cleaned out, all wiped out, so the guy's not going to be able to come back for it. So that's why you took it in your hand to begin with. Or another possible suggestion is the Olam Rabbanan. Really, the Mishnah is going like the Chachamim. And you don't have to say that it's talking about Tamun, but still, you can't prove that the Chachamim Ramodr to Bershuman Elazar by Rov Nachrim that you're allowed to keep it, because Mikatani Hein Shalom, does it say that when it's Rov Nachrim you're allowed to keep the Metziah? No, it says Eino Chayiv Lahachriz Katani. It says you don't have to announce it, which means that Yaniach V'Yesi Yisrael V'Yav V'Siman V'Shakil. Don't announce it, but wait for someone to come forward, and if someone comes forward and gives a simon, then he's going to have to take his aveda. So he's still chayiv in Hashavas aveda. So Tashema, the Gemara says, I'll bring you a raya about what exactly Rav Shimon ben Elazar holds about public places. Damar Ravasi, matzah chavis yain bi'ir shuru b'kananim. If you find a barrel of wine in a city that's mostly kananim, muteris mishum mitzia. You don't have to worry about the dinim of mitzia. You're allowed to keep it, meaning you don't have to return it, you don't have to be machriz. But vasura bahana'a. However, since it probably fell from a guy, it's asur bahana'a, like yayin of a guy. The Gemara is going to deal with, well, if it's asur bahana'a, what value is there to the fact that you're allowed to keep it midine mitziyah if you can't get hana'a from it anyway? By Yisrael v'nasim basimin, muteris b'shtia l'motza. If Yisrael comes and gives a simin to it, now you know that he's the one that dropped it, that it was not yayin of a guy, so now you're going to be allowed to drink it, but you still won't have to give it back to him. So come on, Rav Shimon Elazar. This must be assumed like Rav Shimon Elazar. Why don't you have to give it back? Because you could assume he was already miyayish since it was found in a public place. So Shema Menach, you come Rav Shimon Elazar, Barov Kananim, Av Barov Yisrael Lo. So you see that Rav Shimon Elazar only holds you're allowed to keep something when it's Rav Kananim, because the Jew will be miyayish for anything that he lost. But if it's Rav Yisrael, Rav Shimon Elazar would not hold you're allowed to keep it. So that's a raya. Says Gemara, not a raya necessarily. The old name of Rav Shimon Elazar, Afilu Barov Yisrael Nami Kamar. Maybe Rav Shimon Elazar would hold, if you find something in a public place, even when it's Rav Yisrael, you can assume Yeyush. Rav Asi, who's the author of that brisa, doesn't necessarily paskin like Rav Shimon Elazar through and through. Maybe he says, you know, Rav Shimon Elazar makes a lot of sense when it's Rav Kananim. That's where we could assume you find something in a public place that the owner will be miyayish. Nah, but Rav Yisrael, I don't know about that. Rav Asi is not willing to go that far to paskin like Rav Shimon Elazar. So ask Gemara, just parenthetically, when you find this bottle of wine in a place that's mostly non-Jews, so we say, oh, don't worry about Metziah, you're allowed to keep it. But it's asur ba'anah. Well, who cares that I'm allowed to keep it if it's asur ba'anah? So Rav Ashi the kankana. It may be in a very nice jug, so you spill all the wine down the drain, and then you can keep the jug that it's in. So that's the value of it. The Gemara is going to bring a maisa where another, we're still trying to figure out where Shimon Elazar holds, but now we're going to bring from a maisa. The guy found four zuz that was wrapped in a cloth and was put by the Biron River. Asal kamed Rav Yehuda, so the guy who found it came to Rav Yehuda to ask if he can keep it. Amalei zilachris, Rav Yehuda says, go and announce it. Vazuta shel yamu, but this was found in a place where the river was going to wash it up. So shouldn't I be allowed to keep it? Can't I assume yeush bailim? Shining our biron, given the mitkel lomayish. No, nahar biron is a type of river that has a lot of mechsholim in the way that are going to stop things from flowing down the river. So a person is not going to necessarily be miyish. He's going to assume it's going to get caught somewhere and someone's going to find it. Varuba kananim ninhu, but isn't this a place of rov kananim? Shmamina in al chabashim lazar filu barov kananim. Sounds like we don't pass on Rabbi Shimon Elazar even barov kananim, which would answer a whole bunch of our questions. It would mean the chachamim disagree with Rabbi Shimon Elazar even in a situation of Rav Kananim. They think even in a situation of Rav Kananim, you have to announce it. And it would mean we paskin like the Chachamim. So it says Mar, no, shining arbir and the Yisrael sachrule, the Yisrael karule. The Jewish people are the ones who clean out this river. Kivin the Yisrael sachrule, emir mi Yisrael nafal. Since the Jewish people are the ones that use it most, we could assume that it was lost from a Jew. The kivin the Yisrael karule lo miyayish. Since the Jews are the ones that generally clean out the river, the guy's not going to be miyayish when he loses something, because he's going to assume that the fellow who finds it is going to be a Jew. So therefore, there's no sense of Yeush specifically in that case. Now we're going to move on a little bit. We're going to come back to Rabbi Shimon Elazar, but we're going to move on a little bit to issues of when you don't have to return something, but still sometimes it's a good idea. Lifnim Yishur HaSedin. Rav Yehuda v'shakel v'azal basayit Mar Shmuel b'shukat b'daisa. Rav Yehuda was following Mar Shmuel in a city, in a market rather, where they were selling ground up wheat for porridge or whatever. So Amar Lei, Rav Yehuda asked Mar Shmuel, Matzakan Arnaki Mahu. Stam talking and learning, you know, so he's using his environment as a springboard for a discussion and learning. They're walking in the market, he says, what would happen if someone would find a wallet in a place like this? So Amar Lei, Mar Shmuel said, Arei L'Shalom, you'd be allowed to keep it. So Ba Yisrael V'Nasan Ba Simin. So he asked him, and if a Jew comes and gives a simin on the Aveda, Mahu, what's the din then? Amar Lei Chayev L'Achzir. So then you'd have to return it if a Jew gives a simon. Tarti? Those two answers are sosur each other. You say you get to keep it, it's because you assume that the bailim is miyayish from it. That's why you're allowed to keep it. And then you say that if he gives a simon, you have to give it back to him. Why do you have to give it back to him? He was ready miyayish. Amalei? Lifnim Yishur HaSadin. Yeah, when I say you have to give it back, that's a lifnim Yishur HaSadin, but that's not... That's not something that's required. Min adin, we derive from the pasuk. Gemara is going to derive from the pasuk. Vadatam nesaderich yelchuba v'esama aser asher yaasun, that a person should go lifnim yishur hasadin. The pasuk teaches that in general a person should always try to go lifnim yishur hasadin. Kiyada avur de Shmuel ashka chana chamri b'midbara, like the story of Shmuel's father. He found donkeys in the desert. Va'adrinu l'marayu l'basar treisi yarchishasa, and a year later he returned them to the proper owner. Why? Lifnim Yishur HaSadin. It was only Lifnim Yishur HaSadin. It wasn't really required, because certainly there was Yeush by that point in time. Rava v'shakel v'azal basayit Rav Nachman b'shukat d'gildoi. Rava was following Rav Nachman in the market of shoemakers. V'amila b'shukat d'rabbanan, some say it was the shuk of the chachamim. So Amar Lei, so Rava asked Rav Nachman, Matzakarna arnekimahu, what if someone found a wallet here? So Amar Lei, Arei l'shalah, Rav Nachman said you'd be allowed to keep it. Bo Yisrael v'nasam asimin mahu. And what if a Jew gives a simon to it? Amalei arei l'shalo, you're still allowed to keep it. V'alo omed v'tzaveach, what if the guy is screaming, I never was miyayish on it? So why wouldn't you have to return it? He's screaming like the same way someone screams when they lose something. So he's upset that he lost it, but it doesn't mean that it actually belongs to him. There was a certain bird called the Dayo bird that took a piece of meat from the shuk and he put it in a dekel tree of someone named Barmerion. So Barmerion came to Abai and says, can I keep that meat? That looks like delicious meat. He said, sure, go ahead, enjoy your lunch. That's your meat. Varuba di Yisrael ninhu, but most of the people in that shuk are Jews. Shamina halach Rabbi Shimon, going back to Rabbi Shimon Elazar now, it was a very public place, but you see, halach Rabbi Shimon Elazar, afilu Rov Yisrael, that you see, even when it's in a public place, even if it's Rov Yisrael, you're allowed to keep it, because you could assume Yeush. Says, no, shiny dayo de kazotah shal yam dami. When a dayo bird takes it, people automatically are miyayish. V'amirav basur nishayim l'ayin asur. How's he allowed to paskin that you can eat the meat? Isn't this a case of basur shenasal where it's automatically aser? No, but omid v'ra'ehu. You saw the bird the entire time, so you don't have to assume that the bird switched it out for another piece of meat. Rabbi Chanina matzah gedi shachad bein Tveri l'tzipur. Rabbi Chanina found a shechted gedi between Tveri and Tzipur v'tiru lo, and they allowed him to eat it. The Chama said you could have it. Amar Rabbi Yami, tiru lo mishum tzia, k'rabi shem and Elazar. They allowed him in terms of Mitzia, like Rabbi Shimon Elazar, because it was a public place. Umishum Shechita, and he said you could rely on the Shechita, even though you have no idea who Shechted, Rabbi Chanan Minosha Rabbi Yossi Aglili. Titania, Aresha Avdullah, Yudoy Vitarnagol, Vahalach Mitzah, and Shechutin. If you lost your animals and then you find them Shechted, Rabbi Yuda Oser, but Rabbi Chanan Minosha Rabbi Yossi Aglili, Matir, he says you could assume it's kosher. I'm Rabbi Nirin, Rabbi Yuda Kushan Ba'ashba. Rabbi Yuda says that it's Oser makes sense if you found them discarded, because people discard Nevelos. But it's kosher if you find them not discarded. You find them in a bayis, so you can assume that it's kosher meat. This would never fly nowadays to just assume probably the guy who shechted it didn't know what he was doing. From the fact that there were matter mishum shechita, must be that we're assuming it's mostly Jews. So we see we pass on Rav Shimon Lazar even when it's Rav Yisrael. Rav Knan and Rav Tabachi Yisrael. Now maybe it's a place where it's Rav Gayim, but most of the butchers are Jews. Rabbi Ami Yashkech Pargiel Shchutos Bein Tveri Litzpuri. He found shechted birds between Tveri and Tzpuri. Also came to Rabbi Yassi. He came to Rabbi Yassi. Vamele came to Rabbi Yochanan. Vamele Bei Midrasha. Vamele Zil Shkol Nafshach. And they passed him, you could keep it for yourself. Rabbi Yisrael Nafcha Ashkech Kibur Dazli Bei Azliya. Rabbi Yisrael found a string that they would weave things with. Also came to Rabbi Yochanan. Vamele Bei Midrasha. Vamele Zil Shkol Nafshach. They told him also you're allowed to keep it for yourself because again this is a very public area. And Rabbi Shimon Elazar holds you're allowed to keep things that you found in a very public area. That's from tomorrow. We'll pick up at the Mishnah.